Hello, everyone. Welcome to 5 Writers, 5 Minutes, the podcast where 5 writers who've been writing for decades get to talk about the craft of creating story. My name is Deborah Abella.
I'm Zanny Louise.
I'm Leon Tanner.
I'm Tristan Banks.
And I'm Sarah Armstrong.
And today we are going to talk about building that set. How do we create locations in our stories that feel real? What do we do? What are some tips and hints that these writers can give you when you're writing your story to make your reader feel immersed? Zanny, how do you do it?
Well, if you are on the YouTube version of our podcast thingy, you'll be able to see my background is an abandoned ballroom. So for the listeners, this picture of an abandoned ballroom was something I came across a couple of years ago, and it just lit a fire in me. And I was like, that needs to be the setting of my next novel. So the novel is called Cora Seen and Heard. So Cora and her family moved to this particular abandoned ballroom in regional Tasmania. Yeah, so the setting was just paramount to the whole story. So building it authentically was really, really important. So I'm going off, you know, some visual references, obviously. It is set in Tasmania in the winter, so I have to call on Leon Tanner for that one to be my sensitivity reader to make sure I accurately portraying Tasmania in the winter. So, yeah, using the internet, things like that. Using reference images were really important for this. And my husband happens to be a builder, so he had some really good renovation hints for me and, you know, proofread all of those chapters for me to make sure that they were real. And there was often a question like, we need more detail here. We need to see the architrave. We need to, you know, where is she behind the curtain? Are there stairs here? You know, so all of those really practical details were hugely important to Cora Seen and Heard.
Leon.
Oh, look, Zanny, when you said the picture lit a fire in you, I really agree with that. I have pictures like that. But I also, quite a few years ago, I was in America and I went to a museum that had a World War II German submarine in the basement, and you could go on a tour of it, and it was astonishing. And I stepped into that submarine and I thought, I have to write a book set in a submarine. And I started taking notes, you know, I was kind of writing down what my feet sounded like on the metal floor and what it smelt like and what the sounds were like. And that turned into a book called Sunkers Deep. So I use my own life a lot to help me create locations, places I've been, houses I've lived in, teapots I have known. it's all about the details, you know, it's all about those specific small details that make a place in a story feel as if it really exists. So if I'm writing a scene that's set in a living room, I might put, say, a lump of granite on the mantelpiece that someone collected years ago. I might have a piano with a burn mark across the top. And it's stuff from my own life and my own memories, because our lives are such a brilliant resource for building locations.
Yeah, I think dragging the story in close to you, as close as you can, is fantastic. And so if I can visit a location, I will. Like for Scar Town, I wanted a sunken town. So I went to Jindabyne in the New South Wales Snowy Mountains, where I remember holidaying. And if I can't get there, like my book The Fall is about or inspired by a crime scene that I visited when I was on work experience with Channel 10 News when I was in high school. And so I couldn't get to Sydney, you know, at the beginning of writing the story. So I went on to Google Maps Street View or Apple Look Around or something and gathered these images and had a look around that place. And it really brought back lots of memories from that space. Otherwise, I'll gather pictures if I can't, you know, but I guess particularly if I was going somewhere that Street View didn't have good access to or something, or it was the inside of a building or something, I might try to gather pictures. You know, I'm just gathering these materials and getting as close as I can to that place. And I really feel like once I've got the place, the characters sort of start to flourish and they start to use that space. And it's good if the place is contained in some way too. You don't want to have your locations being so broad that the book doesn't have its own feeling and its own kind of contained sense of wholeness.
I think that I have the setting in my mind when I'm writing my first draft, but first draft I'm actually focusing on character and plot. The setting is only in my mind. It's not very much on the page. And then like my second draft, a lot of that is bringing what's in my head for the setting onto the page. And I set not just my books for young readers, but for adults as well, in the subtropics. I just can't seem to write about anything other than sort of near where I live, the sort of subtropical situation. So Sometimes I will, and that's where I live. So I'll often go out and just sit quietly, and I'm just going for all those sensory details. I also do something called a sensory brainstorm, where I'm either in the location in reality, or I'm taking myself there in my mind. Do a lot of sitting at my computer with my eyes closed when I'm writing. And I will just jot down details, trying to use all the senses. And they're not, it's not proper sentences. It's just like the sort of how rotting leaves smell, and the slipping on the wet leaves, and what rain looks like trickling down tree trunks, you know, breeze, what the breeze feels like. I'm just trying to go for all the senses, and I jot heaps of that down, and then I'll just insert some of it into my draft, because that's what brings a piece alive and makes it feel real.
Yeah.
And original.
You want that visual thing, don't you, in the reader's mind?
And I love that. What all of you have said is, if you can't physically get into that submarine or into that bush, do Google, Street View, see a picture. But then what do you do when you've done all of that? Like, because you don't want to put every single bit of detail of that submarine, of that tree, because your story then will be boring. How much do you put in? And how much do you leave out? I think that's one of our biggest kind of challenges as authors. So in my book, The Book of Wondrous Possibilities, I wanted to describe a reformatory, like a place where kids are sent. And I wanted it to be gnarly and awful, but I didn't want to describe everything, right? So I thought, what about this place, especially when the kids first see it, will really make them go, okay, this is a really dangerous, unfriendly place. So this is how I decided to do it. Then he saw it. Milton Reformatory, a dark, misshapen lump of a building. It sat on a hill with scraggy trees like claws waiting to capture escaping children.
Ooh.
So I think not a nice place, right? So this is our job as writers. Once we've done all that research, how do I then create a picture in my story without going on too much and losing my reader's attention, but really quickly gives them a sense, this is a dangerous place. Mm. So we might leave it there, because I know we could go on about this for a really, really long time. But I hope we've been helpful in the stuff that we've said about not only discovering your location, but also putting it down on the page. We are 5 Writers, 5 Minutes. We are a podcast, of course, and a YouTube thingy. And we will be back next week. Thank you to everybody who
Thanks
has
everyone.
Us and sent us lots of sorts of lovely things about our podcast. We love it. Thank you so much. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.